All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Look around. I think you can recognize today is the last holiday before school starts, right? I remember when school didn't start till after Labor Day. Anybody remember that? Or am I the only one? You know? Now it's 2 weeks before school even starts before Labor Day. Football's going on. Lots of stuff going on. But I've been sharing this series on doctrine, and I want to continue this morning. In your worship folder is an outline. It's rather, these have been long because it's doctrine. These have been long. We're going to talk about the church this morning. The church. Now, when you talk to your friends, or you talk to neighbors, or you visit with someone, and you say the word church, what is usually the response? Think about that. When you mention the word church to someone who does not attend church, to someone, your neighbor who has nothing to do with church, you say the word church today, and most people get a really perplexing, unusual, peculiar-looking face expression. Because church is not really one of those terms today that is embraced. It is real interesting to see all the challenges out there. I found some statistics. Let me read these to you when they talk about the church. 91% say the church is anti-homosexual. 87% say the church is judgmental. 85% say the church is hypocritical. 72% say the church is out of touch with reality. 70% say the church is insensitive. The church. The church has a problem. We have an image problem today. And it's real challenging. I'm reading two books right now. One is called Unchristian. And it's a gentleman who went out and just went across the United States talking to people who are not Christian and asking them their opinion and what was the problem, why they didn't, what was their views about Christianity and why they had those views. The other book is called They Like Jesus, But They Don't Like the Church. You know, what's the problem? I bet if we all this afternoon, we went out there and walked through the crowds out there watching football right now and started talking about the church, what kind of reception would we receive? We say church and there's some problems because of an image. Some of it I think is justified. I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, as a Christian, I'd say some of their opinions are probably justified. But much of it is not. They sung that song and it was a perfect song to kind of set the message up, being sent by God. 39 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am sent by God. Jesus was sent by God. Look at what the scripture says here. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who has sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. 39 times through the Gospel of John, Jesus says he sent. This is what the church is about. The church is about being sent into the world. It's real interesting as we look at Jesus. Was Jesus well received by all the world? No, he was not. So we can't really worry about the world's perception. But what we got to worry about is, are we sent? Look at the next scripture right here. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. When we talk of the church, most of the time we talk of the church as a gathering, as an assembly. We were down this week talking to the county about our building and what's going on. And they said we had to put metal studs in the building because it's an assembly building. You know, how can they build these other places out here that don't have steel studs? And they have more people go through there than a church ever will. And yet we got to put steel studs because it's an assembly building. When you say church, most people think about being assembled together. And what I want us to do this morning is I want us to step back from thinking about church, because we did church when? This morning. Well, I want us to step back because this is not all there is to church. Church is about being sent. Church is about what we do beyond the walls of this church. Because most people and those opinions that people have about the church, it's not what they see going on in here. It's what they see going on out there that they have a problem with. And so what does it mean to be a church? What does it mean when we say we're part of the church or I go to church? And I want to begin with this, the church. The church. And here's a great passage as you look at the scripture starting the foundation of the church. Look at what Jesus says. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates will not, and the gates of Hades, hell, will not overcome it. Whose church is it? It's God's church. But when I talk about this church, I talk about my church. This is my church. But ultimately, it is God's church. And now Jesus says, this is where church started. It wasn't some guy saying, you know what? I want to get a bunch of Christians together, and I'm going to start this thing called church. That's not what happened. It wasn't the apostles that said, hey, let's start gathering and create a church. The church is not some organization. It's not some institution. The church is a creation of God through Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus into the world to create a church. And it belongs to him. It is his church. But what does it say it's built on? It says, and it's built on this rock. Now, in order to get this rock, you have to back up a few scriptures. I didn't write them down for you, but I told you what it is right here. Built on the rock. The rock is Jesus, is Peter's confession. One day, Jesus was talking to his disciples and says, who do everybody say I am? What's all the gossip out there? What's all the rumors about me? And they begin saying, well, some think you're, you know, Elijah, and some think you're this, and some think you that. And Jesus goes on, well, who do you guys? You've been closest to me. You've been walking with me. You're part of my inner circle here. Who do you guys say I am? And Peter, being Peter, steps up and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The confession and the rock of the church is this simple truth, that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and he's the rock and the foundation of the church. The church isn't built upon one of us. The church is built upon Jesus Christ. That's what he's sitting there saying. The church is built on Jesus. I put the reference there, Matthew 16:16. I don't like putting all the scriptures up there because you know what I want? I want you to go home and look them up. You know, school started back. Some of you guys went back to high college this week. You know, you got homework now. Not just college work, you got regular work. Look this up and see what it says in the Gospel of Matthew. We're the church, and we're supposed to be the church. And it's built on Jesus Christ. And the book of Acts is the history of the early church. You know, when I say Acts, it's not an AX when you get an axe and go out and chop wood. It's ACTS. It's the Acts of the church, the Acts of the apostles. Look what the scripture says. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is Jesus just before his ascension. He's sitting there saying, God sent me, I'm sending you, and now I'm going to empower you to be my church. You're going to be my witnesses. The church is on a mission. The church has a purpose and a plan. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, which includes Salida and Modesto and Stanislaus County and California. It includes the world. See, the church is on a mission. This is what the church is about. But I wanted you to put this down here as you look at this passage. As Peter goes on. Because God gave this promise, and God always fulfills. Chapter 2, look at what happens. Look at this. When the day of Pentecost came, just kind of give you a little history. Jesus died on the Passover. We call it Easter today. He died. He rose from the grave 3 days later, and then he ascended into heaven just before Pentecost, and Pentecost is about 50 days after the Passover. So it's been 50 days since Jesus was crucified and rose from the grave and ascended into heaven. And the disciples are all together. They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came up to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be my witnesses, Acts 2 says, here's the Holy Spirit. It came on all of them. Were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying, I'm going to talk about tongues in just a minute. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, Judea, God-fearing Jews in every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. I had these all pronounced and now I'm stumbling over them. Perga and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. It's too early to get drunk, all right? It's just too early to be drunk. They spoke in tongues. Now, I want to just real quick give you just a brief description of what's going on here. And as you read that passage, you've seen tongues. Really what they're doing is they're speaking in different languages. They're multilinguist. It'd be like me standing up here speaking in Spanish and French and German, and I have a hard enough time with English, all right? And it'd be like, you know, and that's what was going on. Everybody heard this. I've often wondered as I read this passage, was this more of a miracle of hearing or a miracle of speaking? Because they all heard in their own language. And I can imagine if I'm standing here talking to you and some guy's right here speaking in Spanish and German, it'd be quite confusing, wouldn't it? But they heard this conversation. There is, if you read the scriptures, you will find there is a prayer language of unknown tongues, all right? There is an utterance in the scripture talks about when we don't know what to pray, that the Spirit will intercede for us. And I do see that in the scripture. But here, what we find in Acts is this unknown tongue being a multilinguist language. And they're preaching and they're teaching, and all these people could hear. Do you see what God is sitting there saying? Acts 1:8 says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And now look at all those nations when the Spirit came on them. Do you see them all? God made a promise and God fulfilled it. The church is on mission with the message of Jesus Christ. This is what the church is about. This is what the church is to be. We are to be on mission with the message of Jesus. This is where I think the church has failed. And faltered. We see the church as a gathering when God sees the church as a sent. We see the church as come and see. And we need to say that. But we say that, come and see, why we said in here. When we need to be saying come and see to our neighbor and our friend and that clerk and that waitress. That's when we need to be saying come and see. See, we don't have, I think this is where the church has made its mistake. The church is inside the building. The church happens on Sunday morning. The church is what's going on today. When really the church is in the world, and it's out in the world. There was a story I read once about a young man who was wanting to see this guy's church. So he travels across the town to visit his pastor friend. I come to see your church. He says, okay. And they get in the car. And they begin driving around. And he goes to the gas station and fills his car up with gas. And he goes to a place like Starbucks and has a cup of coffee. And he goes to the bank and makes a deposit. And he goes to Target. I'm just kind of filling this in. And he does a little shopping. And the guy's with him just going, what's going on? I came to see your church and you're running all these errands. What's happening? And the guy goes, don't you see? This is my church. That teller is my church. That clerk is my church. That attendant is my church. That cashier at Starbucks is my church. The church isn't what is going on Sunday morning. We're building a building, but we say we're building a, I don't know about you, but I say I'm building a church. Yeah. But I'm literally building a building. This is the challenge. What is a church? What is a characterization of the church? And so I just want to keep going through Acts. I just want to just keep going through Acts and see what the church is. Jesus ascended into heaven, sent by God, and he sends us. We're built on the rock, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And now we are sent into the world to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Salida, Modesto. And we're sent with that message. See, we're the church. But what is the characteristics of the church? What does the church look like? So I'm just going to keep reading through Acts, and let's see what the church looks like. What is a church? And so let's read on some more scripture here. Those who accepted his message were baptized. I like the King James Bible. It goes, all those who believed were baptized. I like that translation. Accepted is good, though. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Get a picture here. The church starts out with 120 people. All right, this is it. 120 people. And all of a sudden, in one day, there's 3,000 of them. I don't know about you, but that would be exciting to me, and I would love that. Yeah. Let's come back next Sunday and have 3,000 in here. Yeah. That's what happened. The power came out. Here's the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Here's what the church was doing. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders, and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling the possessions and goods they gave to anyone who had need. They're taking care of one another. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the picture of the church. They didn't talk about a building. They talked about what was going on and the characteristics of the church. So I think there's like seven of them here, and I might throw in an extra one as we go through this. But I think there were seven of them here I want you to notice. The first one I think you need to notice as you look at these, it says, and they accepted, and I put this, the church is made up of believers. The church is made up of believers. In order to be part of God's church, you need to be a believer. You got to cross that line. You got to reach a point in your life where you said something along this line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. A Christian isn't someone who just says, I believe in God. The scripture says the devil believes in God. The truth is you have to cross the line where you reach a point where you say, you know what? Where I'm at in my life right now is not where I really want it to be. It's not pleasing to me. It's an insult to God, and I want to change. And you become a believer. The church is made up of believers. Those who've accepted Christ. That's what it says. And so those who are part of the church are believers. And that's who belongs to it. Let's see what else the church is as we looked at that scripture. The church celebrates the two ordinances, baptism and communion. All those believed were what? They were baptized. The church is, we celebrate. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. And it's been a while since we've done it. I was thinking as I was writing this message, we're going to have to do it pretty quick. I think probably in November, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. It's Thanksgiving time and a great time to acknowledge God and to accept him. All those who believe, you believe and then you get baptized. You accept Jesus Christ, then you get baptized. That's what the scripture says. That's what the church is about. We're on mission. We are sent by God to share the message and to tell others about God. And we celebrate baptism in the Lord's Supper. What else does Acts tell us about the church? The church is led by servant leaders. It was led by the apostles. The apostles were serving. The apostles were ministering. And as a church, this is one of my passions. We don't lead by authority. I'm the pastor. You do what I say. I don't even get that at home, okay? I can't walk in the house. I'm Gary. I'm your husband. Jump, Laura. She's got evil looks right now. Yeah. It don't work in my house. And it doesn't work in God's house either. We lead by serving. And you need to understand, the church has leaders. The church has pastors and elders is what they're called. It's basically the same thing. The word is a shepherd. They're there to minister. They're there to serve. But they're not the only ones, because the church also has what they call deacons. And the deacons, the word literally means servant. And we don't have any deacons in our church. My passion is to have our home groups be pastored by leaders in their church. That's what I want. I want your home groups. And you hear me preach about small groups all the time. And I really want everybody in a small group, 8, 10, 12 people around God's word. And you're taking care, you're ministering, you're serving one another. That's really what I see as the leadership of the church and who we are. But you know, there's one other part of the church, leadership in the church, that I don't think we recognize as leadership. I don't think we take this as being a leader in the church. But I want to tell you something. Every member is a leader in the church. Every member. Anyone who joins the church, anyone who's part of the church, you become a leader. People look to you. Others will look around. You think about this. I'm serious. You need to think about these little kids that run around the church. You may not be nobody that you just think, all I do is come to church. These kids are watching you. They hear your conversations. They see you. You know, I pastor the church here, and I'll walk around the community. I was walking around the back-to-school night here, and some of the kids were coming up to me, and, I know you. I was walking around Dina Bohr this week and walked into the campus to do some stuff this week, and a little girl named Faith comes running up to me, Gary, and was yelling at me, Pastor Gary, Pastor Gary. These children know who we are. And when you're here and they see you in the world, you're sent. We're all leaders. Whether we like it or not, we're all leaders, and we have a part to play. And we need to be part of the church, and it's part of who we are. You know, here's one of my challenges as I think about membership in a church. Because, see, membership to me is really great because it tells me, who can I count on as a pastor? Who can I depend on? You know, I can depend on those who've committed to the church. They've joined the church. They're members of the church. That's who I can count on as a pastor. If you haven't joined the church, it doesn't mean I can't count on you, but it's like, you know. Yeah. Think about this. We treat church nonchalant. We really do. We treat church as when it's convenient, I come. When I don't have any really other pressing issues. When everything's just right. Or it's too hot, it's too cold. It's one of my funniest things to me. I hear people come, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's this. But they'll go out and sit and watch a football game. And they'll come to church and whine because it's too hot. I don't get it. Yeah. The church, you know, you need to become part of the church, because I'm going to tell you what. The church is an antidote to society. Society out there tells you, oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay. If it doesn't hurt anybody else, it's okay. God's word says, wait a minute, not everything's okay. There are some permissible things and some things that aren't permissible. See, that's what it means to be part of a church. And membership is a leader. When you are a member, you are a leader. And we need to see that. And so I want to make sure you've seen that. But we're servant leaders. I've seen people who lead with authority. I'm the pastor. I say jump. This is what the church is going to do. We don't have deacons in our church, but what we have in our church, I call them directors. These are guys that I share with, and they share with me, and I tell them, these are ideas I have, and what do you think? And I get input from them, and it was Don and Michael and some others, and now it's Ron and Dan and Lance that just moved off, and we meet every week, and we sit around and talk, and we pray, and sometimes it's like, okay, I need some, here's what I'm thinking, what do you guys think? And I count on them. Yeah. Because I'm here to serve. And we're servant leaders. So this is the church. You see that in the scripture, in that passage we read? Let's go on. What else is there? The church regularly gathers to hear God's word. All right. And I want to come back to this. It's not the only thing the church does. Many of you got up this morning and said, I am going to church. Many of you will be somewhere this week. Somebody will ask you what you did on the weekend, and I pray and I hope you say, I went to church. So we do gather regularly, but this isn't all we do. Now, you know my four E's that I want to happen, right? Come on now. I say this frequently, not every Sunday, but very frequently. I say there's four E's I want in church every Sunday. I want you to come and encounter God. I want that encounter to be an experience. I want you to be encouraged and leave excited. That's what I want on every Sunday morning. And I pray that every Sunday. Before you get here, I have prayed that you guys and whoever comes and all that enter this place will encounter God, that it will be an experience for you, that you will be encouraged and you will leave this place excited. That's what I see the church. That's what worship is. But it's not all that the church does. And that passage went on to say, and they were all unified. Look at what this next one is. I want to talk about this one for a minute. The church is unified by the covenant. We covenant together, we agree together, and we unify. We unify around God. We center on God. We don't always agree. We're going to be doing things that some of us don't agree with. There's things that happen that I don't agree with. But we accept one another, and we're there for one another. Here's a statement I have, and somebody was quoting this to me. They were in another church, and they were going, I was trying to tell this other church what I've always said. You like this, what I've said? I like that. I've always said this. We're going to have to agree on the essentials. We're going to have liberty for the non-essentials. And we're going to have grace over everything. All right? There are some essential things that I will not compromise that you have to agree on in order to be part of this church. This is God's word. Every word of it. If you don't agree with that, then you might need to find another church. I'll be honest with you. Because don't, you know, come to me and tell me your opinions. I like to hear them. But what does God's word say? I got to have agreement on that. That this is God's word and we need to do what this word says. You know, there's other things that we can have liberty with. You know, I don't know, but you know, Jesus is coming back someday. I don't know when, but I know some of you probably got it figured out. And we're going to disagree. But that's okay. If we agree he's coming, we might argue about when. And then you can, you know, I have this rule for me. I give people the right to be wrong all the time. If you don't agree with me, you have the right to be wrong. You're okay. It's all right. You guys didn't laugh at that, man. But we have to have liberty. There's some non-essentials. But in everything, we got to show grace. We got to go. But we got to unify around some theological things. God is the creator. Did he do it in 6 days? Did he do it in six? How did he do it? I don't know. He didn't. We talked about that. We looked at creation. We agree on the essential, God did it. We can have liberty on how he did it. We got to have agreement relationally. We have unity relational relationships. I'm going to tell you something. We don't have to like everybody. I'm sure when you come here, there might be some people you don't appreciate. Maybe there's some people here who push your button, rub you wrong. You ever do that? You know, and sometimes that's going to happen. But you know what? We have to unify around God. I'm going to say things probably, and I know I put my foot in my mouth. I say the wrong things sometimes. Now, when I was younger, I might have been able to literally do it. I can't do that anymore. I've seen little babies do that. I don't bend that way anymore. Yeah. But figuratively, sometimes I say the wrong things. Sometimes we get offended. Sometimes we get hurt. But we got to unify around those theological issues and around those things God has called us to do. Around our mission. Around the purpose. We got to be one. See, that's how God describes the church. You see the church forming in the book of Acts? That verse has showed all those. I got some other things I wanted to throw in there as you think about the church. Look at this next scripture. The most important one. Okay, just let's kind of back up a few verses. Some lawyer comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, you know, we got all these laws. And I've shared with you, God gave how many commandments? Come on now. How many? God gave 10, all right? Didn't cover everything. You know, God just I don't know. God needed some help. So the rabbis helped God out, and they created, anybody remember? 613, all right? So here this guy comes to Jesus. He's a lawyer. He comes to Jesus and says, all right, we have 10 commandments. We got Rabbi 613. Now, what do you say? Which one of all of these is the most important? Which one? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The church obeys the great commandment. We must love. We must love God first. All right? We must love God first. We must love our family. Now, most of us don't struggle there, right? Most of us love our family. I've always remembered Grandma Lily would always say, they step on your toes when they're young and they step on your heart when they're old. No matter what our kids do, I'm going to love my kids. I may want to wring their neck. I don't care how old they are. You may get aggravated with them, but you know what? You still love them. We must love our family. We have to love other Christians. Now, we have a problem here because we'll say something like this. I'm sure none of you have ever said this. I love everybody, but you know, there's some people I just don't. Like, boy, you guys knew where I was going, didn't you? Because you probably said it. I'm going to tell you, I think that's a lie. I've said it, all right? I'll be honest, I probably said it more than once. But you know what? We have to love other Christians. There are some that are more lovable than others. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There are some that are hard to love. There may be even some we don't want to love. But God didn't give us an exception clause. We are to love. Love God, love others. And it's real interesting. God didn't stop there. It'd be nice. God says, just love all the people you like. That would be nice. He said, love strangers. He said, love enemies. He says, love everyone. See, the church is a place where people should come and experience love and acceptance. Now, I want to make sure I put this in here, just kind of a little side note. Acceptance does not mean agreement. Make sure you understand that. I want to accept everybody. I want everybody to know the love of God and that I care and that we love them and that they're here for them. But it doesn't necessarily mean we agree with them. They may have some agreement issues by behavior, by lifestyle, by whatever, but we still need to love them. All right? We need to love others. This is the church. What else is the church? Let's read one more scripture. The church obeys God's great commandment. Let's see the next scripture. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is known as the Great Commission. The church obeys the Great Commission. All right? That's what we have. We obey the Great Commission. This is the church. These are the characteristics of the church. Now my question is, as you look at that list, only one of those happens on Sunday. Other things can happen on any day of the week. Did you notice that? The only one that happens on Sunday is they gather regularly to worship. Now, you need to know, when we get our building finished, I want to have a Saturday night service. Now, is that spiritually okay? Yeah. I want to have a Sunday morning early service. Some of you want to get in and get out. Go home and watch football or something. I don't know. Some of you want to come Saturday night so you can go do something Sunday. Yeah. But I don't think church should be just a convenience. It needs to be an experience where you encounter God and you are encouraged and you leave excited. And it's not just what happens on Sunday. If we measure Christianity by all, if we measure our Christian life, but all we do is what we do on Sunday, we have failed. The church is about being sent. The church is about going. And we need to go as a church. I look at our building that we're building, and I have a hard time because I want to call it Ministry Center. I want our church to be a ministry center. You know what I thought about this morning? As I was walking around and praying, I seen all these people coming out for football. Let me ask you this. Which would the people in Salida miss more? Our church or the football teams are gone? They'd miss the football teams, wouldn't they? We need to change that. We really need to be a church on mission sent by God into Salida. That's why we're going to do our 40-day study. My fear is we're going to build our building, and it's going up. You notice I said we are going to build it. It's not if. We are going to build it. God is really blessing. I got some more stories I could tell you. God is really blessing, and we're going to build our building. Yeah. But it does no good if we build a building, and it's us four and no more. If we're not reaching into our community because we're sent by God. See, church isn't just what happens on Sunday morning. Am I getting my point across this morning? Yeah. So what does all this mean? I got to make this real practical. I want to make this real practical. Look at what the scripture says. You are no longer strangers to God or foreigners in heaven, but you are members. Circle that word members. Members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country. And you belong in God's household with every other Christian. All right? We are members. You need to be a member. Now, just a real quick side note again. I got to throw these in every once in a while. The word church in the Bible is used two different ways. 90% of the time, it's talking about a local church. The church of Ephesus, the church in Laodicea, the church in Philippi, the church in Corinth. But also in the scripture, you'll see the word church used for universal church. Every Christian, from the beginning of time to today. You know what? I'm in church, the universal church, with a guy named Peter and John the Baptist. I belong to the universal church that Paul belongs to. We all belong to the universal church. Every believer that was, that is, and is that going to be, is a member of the universal church. But there is also, and the scripture overemphasizes, there is a local church. And you need to be part of that local church. And there's no such thing as a perfect church. I want to make sure you know that. If you think there is, just start reading the scripture. And you read about the church in Corinth. Or read more in Acts, and you read about the churches that Paul started and the issues. There's no perfect church, because you know what? None of us are perfect. And I'll give you a hint. Somebody told me this one time. If you find a perfect church, don't join it, because it won't be perfect anymore once you join it. All right? Because none of us are perfect. We're going to get offended. We're going to be hurt. I don't think if anybody's here that's never been hurt in church, we do get hurt. There's a great study many of our groups are doing or going to do, and I'm going to be doing it again in another group called the Beta Satan. Does a really great job talking about this. And we got DVDs, and several groups have already went through it. And we're going to do more with it. Because it's a great study about how it's so easy to get offended in church. Because it happens. But the church isn't perfect, but the church is God's church. And he called us to be a part of it. And we're part of that church. So what does it mean? What does it mean? What does all this mean to be out being a church? So I put it this way. Let's look at these real quick. I have a relationship with God and other believers. That's what it means. I'm in a relationship. I love God. I love others. It's about relationships. And relationships hurt. But relationships also bless. Had a great Sunday school lesson this morning. You miss Sunday school, you miss a blessing. My Sunday school lesson this morning was, one of the questions I was asking is, what does God get out of saving us? What does God get out of saving us? Yeah, and that was a great question. I'm not going to answer it. You got to go home and figure it out. Yeah, because we're in relationship with God and with one another. Church means this. That means this right here. I follow Jesus. That's what all this means. Being in a church and being a member means I'm following Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. We're going to get to sing that song in a minute, at least in a new and a fresh way. Because I love that song. Here's my commitment. And I talk to some about this all the time. Here's the only thing I know. You guys need to understand this. This is what I really know. I know that God loves me, sent his son to die for me. And I accepted that. And I want to do things God's way. So all I know is God says, go that way, I'm going that way. I don't know anymore. All I know is I'm going that way. I mean, I went that way to go through college. I went that way to go through seminary. I went that way to go to Willits. I went that way to come here to Salida. I'm going that way. Where the next step is, I don't know. I'm just going that way. I'm following Jesus. That's it. I don't know where it's going to lead. I don't know where it's going to end up. I know where the final call is going to be, in heaven. But I'm going that way. I'm going to follow Jesus that way. See, that's what it means for church. What else? I know I need the help of others to keep following Jesus. One of the most frustrating things for me is when somebody says, I don't need the church. Or they'll say it in this terms, I don't need anyone. That is the most infuriating thing to me. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. And some of you women know that's true. It's not good for men to get by themselves. They can get in all sorts of trouble. But it goes for everybody. It's not good to be alone. We need relationships. And when you join a church, you're saying, I need help. You're acknowledging what you need. We can't go through this life by ourselves. We need one another. We need each other. There are things that you contribute by just being here that makes a difference. That demonstrates, and we need to see that. We're going to follow Jesus. I need help. What else? I'm part of the body of Christ. Paul used the body of Christ over and over and over again. Paul described the church as the body of Christ. And what that means is you're a part. You're included. Let me ask you, is there any part of your body that's not important to you? Yeah, you don't need it. We'll just, before you go out, we'll just take it away from you, okay? Anybody feel their toes aren't that important? Just stub it one day. Tell me how unimportant your toes are. Hit your finger with a hammer and see, it doesn't matter. It's just a finger. Every body part's important. Every body part in a church is a member, is a leader, is important. Does that make sense? Everybody's important. We all have a part to contribute. We all have something to bring to the table and to be a part of it. And what's next? I know I need to be equipped for ministry. I still got things to learn. Yeah. I went through college, got a BA, got an AA, a BA, I got a master's, I got a doctorate degree, but you know what? I still got a lot to learn. There's still a lot of stuff out for me to get, to understand, to wrestle with. I need to be equipped. I need to go and learn. I go to conferences. I go hear others preach. I go hear others teach. I listen to broadcasts. I got one on my iPod I'm going to listen to later today called Catalyst. It's about, this is young preachers in their 20s and 30s, which I wish I was still there. That was just a year ago, okay? But I still got a lot to learn. I still got a lot to learn. See, and when you join a church and when you're part of a church, you're saying, you know what, I need to help, and I need to learn. What else? I need the security of other believers. Is there strength in numbers? See, we need others around us because there's strength. When I'm down, you may be up. When you're down, maybe I'm up. I never forgot one of my teachers when I was in college, Christian college, California Baptist University. She goes, I only go to church when I feel I need it. And I told her this, when you don't feel you need it, you probably need it the most. Because anytime you feel you don't need church, I'm going to tell you what, you're in trouble. All right? We need this. We need to be here. I need to be a part of this. I don't know about you. I don't know what I would do Sunday. You know, if I miss church on Sunday, it's kind of weird. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, there's something going on, or I went to a conference, and you know, we did something Saturday night or whatever, and we just didn't go to church on Sunday. The weirdest thing for me was when I was working on my doctorate, we had to go visit different churches. And so I went to a church that had a 7 o'clock service, a Lutheran church, a 7 o'clock service. So I went at 7 o'clock in the morning, I went to church, got done with church, came back, and the guys were just getting ready to go to their other church that they were going to visit. We had to visit different denominations and different churches. And I'm back, and it's like, now what am I going to do? You know, it's 8:30 in the morning, and I'm already done with my duty of going to church. Yeah. There's more to it than that. See, there's more to it than that. I need the church. I need the others around me. What else? I want to be like Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, you need to go to church. Here's the thing that bugs me. We treat church nonchalantly. It's always going to be there. It will always be there. It's doing its thing, and it's this. I want to tell you something. Jesus died for the church. How many of us would? Jesus literally died for the church. And we treat the church like, no big deal. When I feel like it, when it's convenient, when the opportunity arises, if there's nothing else going on, if it's a holiday and I can go camping. Oh, I shouldn't have said that one. Let's go. Gary, behave. Tell me to behave. I am to strengthen the church with my presence. You know how discouraging it is sometimes to come, and I don't know if the worship team would echo this, but for me, is to come, and I've worked hard. You need to know, I'll spend 20 hours working on a message. And I've worked hard and put my life in my heart. I've prayed. I spent time on all of this, and I come, and there's just a few people here. That's discouraging. Yeah. To me this morning, I'm walking around, and here I'm going like this. There's going to be hundreds of people out there and 60 or 70 in here. And I go to God, God, what am I doing wrong? Yeah. And then I'm going, well, let's see. We're singing God's songs. We're sharing God's word. We're in the word during the week. I think we got it down pretty good. Now we can improve and strengthen. But your presence is a blessing. It's exciting. I just want to encourage you there that your presence makes a difference. Just being here makes a difference to what God is doing. And look at the last one. I'm just going to tell you, it's just the right thing to do. It's just the right, I mean, you can say anything you want, but I'm going to tell you, church is just the right thing to do. Not just on Sunday, but all week long. It's just the right thing to do. And so I want to challenge you, will you do the right thing? And it's not just about gathering, it's about being sent. Look what the scripture says at the end here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Do we love the church? I will die for my wife. No questions asked. I will give my life. Yeah. Not even batting an eye. How about the church? How about the church? Where's church in your life? And I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. You can come in, you know, there are people that can come every Sunday. I'm going to say that you can come every Sunday and live like hell out there and it doesn't make a bit of difference. That wouldn't matter. But I'm talking about being the church. Being that believer in your home. That believer in the workplace. That believer, that church member with that neighbor. That church member in the line that's running slow because the teller doesn't know how to count change. You know what I'm talking about? See, can we be that church member? Can we be that Christian? Can we be like God? And so at the bottom of the page, I put it real simple. I am a member of God's church. I am. I'm not talking about just Sunday morning. I'm not talking about I'm a member of First Baptist Church. Yeah. But my life, all those things, relationship, Jesus, others, part, equipped, security, Jesus, strength, and the right thing. Where is church in your life? Where does church fit in your life? Is it just a Sunday morning thing? Is it just a convenience? Is it just when there's nothing on, the game starts late today? Where does church fit in every day of your life? Let's pray.